You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're here at the back table at The Comedy Cellar with Dan Natterman and two guests right now, Mr. Louis Schaefer, Comedy Cellar legend, man actually in many ways responsible for the modern iteration of the Comedy Cellar, and back from, were you just in L.A.?
Yes.
Back from his triumphant shooting of his sitcom, Chris Stefano.
There you go. All right.
Well, Chris, when last we spoke with Chris, you were on the show, what, 2 months ago?
Yeah, I think
well, whenever it was, had just inked the deal, I guess, with your development deal.
Yes.
Based on your rather interesting story of having impregnated a young lady that you barely knew.
Mm-hmm. And a one-night stand.
Yep.
And having a child with her and trying to make that relationship
work. A Latina woman. I pulled a gnome. A Latina woman.
Whoa, okay. Whoa, whoa.
Is that why you call it a development deal? Because you made a child. You developed a child.
That's it. Yeah.
Have you heard that joke before?
No, I have not.
Is that not funny, Dan Natterman?
Well, Louis, now we'll get to you, by the way.
Right.
You're certainly welcome to participate, but I do want to get the focus on Chris for the first portion of the show.
Okay, I'm welcome to participate. I like that concept.
There you go.
So by the way, am I allowed to ask, so you were in a relationship with a young lady that you impregnated but barely knew, and you tried to make it work for the sake of the child. This is in real life.
Yes.
And by the way, just remember, he said she was so hot that he knew when he was doing it that she was going to get pregnant and he didn't care. I don't want to correct?
Yep.
On a one-night stand.
Oh, yeah. It was
but
one
it
of those.
Turned out not to be a one-night stand because she got pregnant and you figured, okay, well, we have a child together. Let's make it work.
Yep.
So they decided to give you a TV show based on that story.
Yep.
By they, I mean the producers of How I Met Your Mother, I believe it is.
Yeah, creators. Yeah.
So now in real life, how's that relationship going or do you not wish to discuss it?
No, to be honest, filming the pilot, you know, because we filmed it live, my whole family came there to L.A. And, you know, nobody travels like that in my family. So they all came. And it was one of those experiences where I think it brought us all closer together. So now, before I left for the pilot, I was like, you know, not even living there. And it was like,
not even living with the baby mama.
No, I would see my daughter every single day. But I was like, you know, it was tough. But now it seems like we're getting a lot closer. And I don't know. I'm in that in-between. I think we're in a gray area right now. But we both love our daughter so much that, you know, it's hard. I think if you don't have children, it's hard to understand where I'm at, you know?
I don't have children,
right.
So I am.
Oh, I know.
Louis has children and a broken marriage, but he's dying to say something, but Dan has already put a roadblock, so he's afraid. Correct, Louis?
No, I'm not going to say anything, because anything that I say is going to be bitter about this thing.
No, go ahead,
and
say
I get the feeling that Chris has no idea what he's in for.
Well, with the girl?
Yeah, with the girl. He has no idea.
Yeah.
And the reason she's hanging out with you is because you're doing really well. Wait till things go bad, and you'll never see your kid again.
Well, I know we never got married, so that's like the good
thing. You were married. You had a kid. Having a kid makes you married. That's the definition of married. You don't have to be married to be married.
No, I know. I know, like, legally we weren't married, though, so I know, like, lawyers and stuff are like, it's better that I'm not married, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going. I'm just focused on my career and my daughter.
Keeping the money that you earn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way better to not be married.
If you share something, like a daughter,
right?
You are married.
Yeah. No, you're not married.
No, you are. That's what marriage is. If somebody has your stuff.
You're not talking legally.
No, I'm not. I know, Mr. Lawyer, you have a legal thing.
Mr.
No.
Point is that if you're married and you marry another woman, that's illegal.
Yeah.
If you're married the way I'm, if you're married the way you're saying, you can marry, you can be. I mean, that's not.
No, he can't because she would kill him.
But that's
true. That's true.
She would kill him. She actually thinks she's still married to the guy.
Right. Well,
she does think that. And have you been with another woman since that time?
Whoa.
No. No, you haven't been. You haven't been because you know, not because she's Hispanic.
Because you know, if you say it out loud, then you're.
Because I know she's listening.
You're a married man. Just give in to it.
Can we just talk briefly about how the pilot, when you
Wait,
shot
he wasn't finished. He has something to say about
that.
No, what? No, I don't have any more to say about the What do you want me to say about the person?
You feel married?
Do I feel married? I understand what Louis is saying. I feel like marriage to me now is pointless, especially with the mother of my child, because we're closer and we have more at stake with a human being than we would with a marriage certificate. Like, marriage, it means absolutely nothing to me now.
Are you having sex with
the child first?
Are you still having sex with her?
That's
a yes.
In the heat of passion.
Don't let him off the hook.
In the heat, when the mood is right, when we're drunk. No,
you don't live together.
Are you having sex with her?
No. I don't know. I mean, once in a while.
You don't know. Once in a while.
Are you living together?
We live together like...
Quasar.
I'm there. I've slept there the last week since I've gotten home.
If in the periods that you're not sleeping there...
Right.
If she were to have a liaison with another man, would that be A, against the rules, and B, would you go nuts?
It wouldn't be against the rules, but it would.
Oh, he'd go nuts, all right. Nuts with other chicks.
I would drop my nuts all over everybody. But it wouldn't. It wouldn't. I'm not the kind of guy who would go crazy off that. But it would upset me. It would upset me.
I get jealous when I see an ex-girlfriend I haven't seen in 20 years with her husband.
Yeah, you still. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm never jealous. I want them to have things.
Yeah.
Because everything that they have means you can have a thing.
Right. Now, right.
Can we? How did the pilot go?
This is the more interesting subject.
No, we're gonna get to the pilot.
Nobody cares about the pilot. Then
they want to know show business.
Because I'm gonna tell you something. I don't even know this guy. He's probably a big maca in L.A. He's gonna be a huge star, like the millions of people that we know. Noam and Dan. We know a lot of people who become famous over the years. So he could be somebody. I don't know because I'm from London. But I'm going to tell you something. You're married to her. You better not touch another woman.
I know.
Okay?
All right, we've established that. It was a great point, and it was interesting the first time you said it.
All right.
The second or third, less and less each time. That's why I want to move it along.
Like having sex with a woman, it's less interesting than every time.
Right. A brief discussion.
How was the pilot?
Of the pilot.
The pilot what?
old Sabotage Noam.
No, I'm kidding.
He's right, because the pilot isn't as interesting. This should be filmed.
Dan's
going to have
business.
A meltdown. Let him
people
ask how
like,
the pilot is.
People like showbiz talk.
Yeah.
And when last we spoke with Christopher, he was going to do a pilot, and so let us now tie the loose ends up, if we may, and talk about aforesaid pilot.
Yes. Yeah. It was good. It was Chaz Palminteri.
I'm not saying we have to do a whole half hour on the pilot. Just... Give us the thumbnail sketch.
Chaz Palminteri played my father. Annie Potts played my mother. Diane Guerrero from Orange is the New Black played my girlfriend, baby mama, wife. Yeah. Deanna Maria Rivas from Man with a Plan played my mother-in-law. And it was great. It was great. It was Pam Fryman directed it. She's directed
a million
sitcoms.
So your biased inside views think this thing is going to take off.
I don't know about that. I know this. I know that what I made, I'm very proud of. And whether anything that I had to bend on when I didn't do anything uncomfortable when I watch it. I'm like, I'm proud of that. If it goes, great. If it doesn't go,
I'm going to ask you a question that might put you a little bit ill at ease. How do I get in on this train?
You can, if it goes, because it'll film here in New York. If it goes, you can. I promise you, I'll get you a spot on the show.
Well, you can't.
That's a legal contract.
You don't have that. You don't have that power.
It's not, no money has been exchanged.
In the first season, I probably wouldn't have that power.
Well, I don't have that kind of time to wait for a second season. Okay, I got three cruise ships booked this year that I'm anxious not to do.
Yeah.
All right.
Cancel one, and that'll be a contract, right, Noam?
Exactly.
There you go.
No, because if he doesn't, well, it might be a contract, but just because we have a contract doesn't mean I can rely on him to fulfill
it. Just go help him move a couch. Anything in return.
I wasn't talking necessarily about a role on the show, though. That would be lovely. I'm talking more about, you can give me a fish, and I'll eat for a day. I want to learn how to fish. So I'm talking about something more long-term, like a writing position on staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Now, I know you don't have the power to click your fingers and say,
yes,
you're
he
in.
Does. He does. He's, no, he's the guy.
He's not the guy.
No, but it's crazy.
The producers are the guy.
I have almost like no power. I mean, I'm a producer on the show too, but it's the network, But I promise you that if it got on the air and you wanted to write on the show, I would make sure that every producer from the highest up would look at your writing packet very, very closely.
No, he's asking you to do a Roseanne Barr. Dan Natterman. Now, are you going to do
what's a Roseanne Barr?
Well, you go mental and you say, this is my show.
No,
I'm going to have Dan.
No, because first of all, there's two reasons why.
She read the quid of Tom Arnold, wouldn't be honest on
there's
it.
Two reasons, there's two reasons
Dan
why
Dan Natterman is the Tom Arnold of your show.
There's two reasons why that's not going to fly. Well, number one is I think probably Roseanne had more power at that time.
Yeah.
Number two is I'm not, me and Chris are not that close that he would do that for me. No, I don't expect
consider
him
you
to
a,
do.
Yeah,
we're friendly. We've had smoothies together, whatever. But
I'd invite you to my wedding if I ever legally got
would
married.
You really?
Yeah, you'd be in with a plus one.
Apparently, we're closer than I thought.
Am I the plus one? If you give him a role, can I be Dan Adaman's father on the show?
Yes. Yes. You could be in.
They're the same age, you know.
Really?
But he sold it. Dan has sold himself to the devil. It's got the picture of Dan Natterman in his.
How old are you, Lewis?
Dorian. He's going to be sweet 60 tomorrow.
Oh, happy
birthday. Not the same age.
Yeah. Not the same age. Well, you think we are. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
More pilot questions, Dan. They're fascinating. Go ahead.
No,
I'm kidding.
You know, Noam always does
I'm
this.
Kidding.
He sabotages. But meanwhile, Noam will have a guy on to talk about minutia from the tax code. Okay. Last week we had this dude on, and he was talking about this minutia shit with the tax code. It's like, dude, this is the comedy.
You know who it
podcast.
Was?
Yeah.
You know, it's so funny. You know who it was? It was the guy who a few days earlier had gotten the scoop of Donald Trump's tax returns.
Oh, shit.
The guy who found them in his mailbox?
Yeah.
That's the guy we had
that's
on.
That's pretty interesting.
No, I'm so proud
and
of
Dan's
that.
Like, you had this boring guy. Like, yeah,
I didn't say he was a boring
this
guy.
This guy actually steered the ratings. Rachel Maddow got her best ratings ever because this guy was on the show.
Then get Rachel
4 days later,
then
we have him on our show to talk about the same thing. Dan thinks it's a total waste of time.
No. I didn't say it was a waste of time. I said, when we have him on, you know, you don't have to go into minute details.
All right, Dan.
You can keep it so that everybody. And by the way, I don't think it was a great guest for our show, despite his notoriety. But I made it good by steered in the right direction. Now
I thought you were good last week.
Thank you.
I even told Calabria that, and he didn't agree with me. But I thought you were good.
Do you know Louis Schaefer, Christy? He's
I've
a
heard
legend.
Of him. I don't
his
know him
reputation
personally,
though. Well, let's talk.
Well, I know he's in England, right?
No,
let's talk a little bit about Louis Schaefer. In a way, he kind of, I wouldn't say he's like you, but Louis Schaefer, his whole shtick when he used to work here in the city was, I'm not gay, I'm a sissy. He'd go up on stage and say, I'm not gay, I'm a sissy, not gay, sir. And he had some great jokes about it. Like, for example, his best joke is, I'm not gay, I'd like to be gay. You know why? Men. But his whole shtick was that he's not gay, but everybody knows that he really is gay. And the best part
No, they don't know. It's up in the air whether I'm gay or not.
Right, but
my father on his dying day insisted you were gay.
He did say that.
He did.
And the fun part was like usually after if he was hosting, because he was a host here, we'd go on and talk about how gay he was for a few minutes.
Nice.
Yeah, comedy gold.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. And then he met a woman.
Similar to what's your name again?
DeStefano.
He met a woman that he.
The same thing.
He met a woman, this woman, Vivian, who he barely knew, but decided, I want to get married. I'm old and I need to get married.
Right.
Yeah. And have a kid. So he went to England with her.
And I said, like Chris said, I don't care if she gets pregnant or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just go
in. But he moved to England.
And then regretted it.
Because he thought in his dumb head that if he moved to England, everybody would be talking about him in New York because he'd be the guy that. It's like he moved to England. Oh, my God. He'd create a buzz.
I had no plan B, Dan Natterman. I never had a plan B in my life. I don't even have a plan A. I just did what I did. I regret it.
Yeah.
So anyway, he left, and he lives in England now with two of his...
And you named your children Columbus and Carnegie?
That's right, yeah.
Cool names.
What?
You don't like that? I like something different.
Yeah.
Well, explain Columbus and Carnegie to me.
I wanted to name my kid, like a Muhammad is a big name. Right, I wanted to name my kid. I thought a first name that was somebody else's last name would be a great name.
Nice.
Okay, and I want to name my kid Einstein.
Right,
he's smart. Now here, you don't even laugh in New York in London. That would be the worst thing you could ever name because Einstein's an insult to use for people who are smart.
It's like it's like a sarcastic.
It's like sarcastic. Hey, Einstein. Yeah.
We do that here too.
Do you do that here?
Yeah,
too?
We do.
Anyway, so I'm glad I didn't name him Einstein because now I think he's an idiot. Here's the point. The point is, I had two kids. I didn't do what Chris did, which is muscle it out, which is realize that this woman's insane, which is what you're probably thinking about your wife, is insane, and I've got to do everything in my power to keep her happy to see my children. I did not realize that.
You didn't do that.
I didn't.
Because you're gay?
Because I'm gay and I don't like women. Basically, it's true. You probably think, oh, it's a breast. I'll touch it. I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? You just like her.
Yeah. Just I love tits.
Yeah, you love it. So she's a pretty girl. She's in the room with you. I might as well have sex with her. Me, it just sickened me.
Right.
It just sickened me that there was an actual woman there and I had to make her happy.
Well, are we being serious now? Because I went through this too.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know what happened. Well, I don't know. She probably can't figure out how to listen to it. I don't know what happened with my wife, but like for 3 years after our daughter was born, she was just horrible to me. Horrible. Like unbelievable. Like would yell at me about
what you thought about leaving.
Like, but, I mean, you like you wouldn't even. You could not believe I didn't pack the suitcases back in the back of the car. Or I mean, and vicious. That's it. I'm done with you. I should have known you. And then, but I sucked it up. I never argued. I never engaged because I kept my eye on what was important.
On so the
I'm not
prize.
That's right. I'm not losing my head. And then this is what's interesting. Yeah. Then one day, for no reason, she snapped out of it, and she's nice to me again now.
How many kids? Right. You got two kids, right?
Two kids, and one on the way.
And one on the way.
But there is a biorhythm, or whatever, for lack of a better word, of relationships. Mm. And the truth is that if you just suck it up and stay together, it does eventually turn around.
But you had the foundation with your wife already, right? How long were you with her before you had your first child?
17 years.
So you were with her for a long time.
On and off. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. See, yeah. I think what's hard about my thing is I've only known my daughter's mom for 2 years, and our daughter is 19 months old.
Yeah, so
it's like we don't have any foundation. So I think the reason why we both run all the time is because like we wouldn't be together if we didn't have a kid. Because we all these red flags that are on the both of us when we absolutely would have. Been like, okay, the relationship's over. We can't. We have to keep trying to find hurdles to get over because we're trying to make it work for the kid. But it's exhausting to do that with someone.
And you've been through that colossal waste of time they call couples therapy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Has anybody ever
makes
been
it worse.
Saved by
it?
Makes it worse.
Well, actually, it's so interesting because somebody was asking, why don't you go to couples therapy? I say, well, because in couples therapy, you're supposed to be honest. And the truth is,
you can't be honest.
Any man who's actually honest in couples therapy,
can't do it.
That would really be Humpty Dumpty. You couldn't put it back together again. So the whole thing is a farce. A man goes in there and lies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you can't be. I mean, it's absurd.
You can't be honest. And I also think, I mean, I don't know if because, you know, this may be like a chauvinistic or like dirtbag thing to say, but I just think like being married, one person, for both a woman and a man, it just seems very unnatural. I feel like the whole institution of marriage to me seems very archaic. Like, that was invented when people died when they were 30. But now to expect someone to be married
for 19 months.
Yeah. Yeah, for 19. I can't fucking do it.
It just seems
a little crazy.
You're not listening.
He doesn't listen.
It's not been invented. Marriage is in the mind of a woman,
right.
Okay? It's there, and it's in your mind. If you don't want her to fool around, you are married. It's not nobody invented marriage. Here's the point. You are right about this. There's no such thing as couples therapy can't work.
Doesn't work.
Okay? You're both
wrong, by the way, but I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Oh, no. I ran out of things to say.
Well, marriage is a business deal, and for very good reason, historically, because traditionally, the man worked, and the woman stayed home and took care of the house and the child.
Yeah.
And then if the man wanted to just up and leave, the woman would be home alone with the child with nothing. So it made society protected that by saying if you get married and you couldn't live together if you weren't married without a tremendous stigma, it is an institution designed to protect the woman from being destitute and impoverished.
I'm going one step deeper than that. It is that true.
Well, but the point is
saying what is in the mind of a mental woman.
But now it's obsolete because a lot of women have a lot of money and they can work. It's like they don't need to take.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think, and that's why I think like now in 2017 and going into 18, it just seemed. I know everybody knows marriage is happening less and less, and I think it's because of these reasons. I mean. You know, women, they don't really need us as much as, say, they used to or think they don't need us as much as they used to. And maybe we don't need them as much as we used to.
But the kids need us.
But the kids need
mommy
us.
Mommy and daddy.
Right.
They
the
really
kids need
do.
Us both. Yeah.
You know what? There's lots of successful kids without any daddies.
Well, you know, I'm tired of that argument.
Yeah.
You know what that argument? I'll tell you why I'm tired of that argument.
I'm with you.
I'm going to tell you why. Because they measure everything just by the fact the kid grew up and is a head of CEO of IBM. Therefore, it was fine. They don't care about what he suffered, what he went through, his issues. That's all just washed away. Say, there's lots of successful kids. It's like, you don't measure successful kids simply because he gets a good job.
No. Right.
But what if he went through 10 years of misery because he didn't have his daddy there or his mommy there when he's unhappy and he's crying, whatever it is? That counts for nothing if he ends up graduating from a good school.
You grew up without a mommy. How was that?
It was horrible, Dan.
Did you ever look at your dad and say, why'd you kill her?
No, I mean, I grew up to be okay also, but But nevertheless,
never trust anybody who says I grew up to be okay.
But I'm doubly committed to being to not having my kids grow up in a broken home.
Right.
Because it wasn't good for me.
No,
go ahead.
Sorry.
No, but it wasn't good for you, you know, because that's your specific thing. But like my dad lived on Staten Island and I grew up in Queens, Brooklyn. But my father was there every, you know, 3-4 days a week. And all I saw was two independent people who loved me. And I grew up around like so much love where
You're saying I didn't grow up around love?
I don't know.
That's what I hear you saying. I was loved.
But I had two parents in the house and I didn't grow up around love.
And they didn't grow. So it's like, I think it's debatable. You know, I think you can't like, you totally can't like just objectify that. Like it's so subjective to each individual parenting situation.
I think if the kid doesn't know any better, like if you're going to get, if you guys are going to split up, one might argue you should do it now.
Of course.
While this child doesn't know any better.
Of course.
Because, hold, Lewis, let a man finish.
I'm sorry.
Homo. Now, once she is conscious that there is a relationship between you and the mommy,
right.
Then she's going to lose something when you get divorced.
Right.
And or split up in this right. case because you're not married.
Of course.
So I'm just wondering whether if you have anything, if you want to, like, you know, split this up. Maybe now's the time.
Now's the time. Well, I mean,
but Lewis says this is not a valid theory.
Why did you say no? Why?
It's not a valid theory because it has to do with being with the child in the primary years, and the more they get used to you, and the more you can stick
it out. Well, he'll be there, but I'm just saying whether it's going to be in a context of a relationship with the mom two people that love
there.
The child.
No, but you know what could happen.
What
could happen. So what happens is he gets this. He's on TV now, and he's super famous, and he's banging everybody, all the most beautiful women in the world.
Two at a time, whatever.
And his wife, who gave you her
his baby,
the baby's mommy, still loves you, and you're not around. And the anger is right there against your kid, saying, "Don't be like Daddy. Daddy was no good. Daddy doesn't love you." I've seen it with my own kid.
Yeah, oh, really? What a surprise! I couldn't tell.
Lewis, you're judging.
I have no idea.
Well, Lewis has a tendency to judge every situation by his experience, which is, of course, a common thing that we all do.
I've been there. Listen, I know his situation.
Well,
and I know what he's going through right now. You just gotta suck it up. But you know what? Even if you just met her, even if like Gnome knew the girl for 17 years, the truth is you always have to suck it up. Gnome sucked it up for, you know, when she went crazy. You always gotta, with women, you gotta eat.
Absolutely. You do not engage. You just let her. By the way,
yeah.
Are you saying that you have regrets about everything? Like if you had it all to do over again, you would behave differently?
I wouldn't be gay.
You would be
I do. I honestly, sorry.
Well, first of all, Lewis left me.
Yes.
Okay, and I had to find new friends, which I did successfully.
Dov Davidoff.
Yes.
Dov Davidoff, among others.
Yeah.
But
no, life gave Lewis some punches to the gut, it seems.
Yes, it has. But I deserved it. You know, when you sit there with exposed like this, I would do it over again. I'd be like Chris here, and I'd be like what you. You sit there for 3 years, and you just suck it in, and that's what you got to do. You got to find a way to love the mother of your child. She's giving you a child. Even if she gets horrible to you and nasty, she's still giving you a child, which is something you couldn't have done on your own, so you got to love the mother.
And you have to lower your expectations. You know, before we had kids, I had a girlfriend and a wife who used to like, you know, it's such a minefield now, but it was kind of traditional. She would kind of take care of me. She'd make me something to eat. She was maternal in that way. Now, the only time she makes me something to eat is if I come downstairs and catch her making something for herself. she's like, oh, do you want some eggs? Like, she used to be honey. Sometimes she even used to bring them to me without asking.
Well,
can
the
you
focus
believe
is
it?
On the children.
Well, you know,
the kids are out to school.
Yeah.
Lewis is full
of... It's just something changed.
Lewis is full of anger. There's certainly plenty of people that do split up with their baby's mom that have very good relations with the baby's mother after that and see the kids quite frequently.
And do you know how that works?
I think Rich Voss is an example of that. I don't know the intimate details of his situation.
Yeah,
but I know he has two kids with his ex-wife.
Yeah.
And... Yeah. You know, I think he was fairly present, and I think they're still very good friends, him and his ex-wife.
Well, yeah, well, I'm not so sure my child's mother necessarily wants to stay with me either. I mean, she doesn't think my life is so cool. She's been on record saying that. She's been like, I don't like that you're gone all the time. I don't like that you do. It bothers me.
She's dying to stay with you. Trust me. I know nothing about it. She's dying to stay with you.
I'm a gnome.
Maybe, but...
And women have to say that. I don't want that. Don't touch me there. Please don't touch me there.
Yeah.
Why aren't you touching me there? Get back to touching me there. Stop touching me there. This is the way
women are. Just to clarify, we do not advocate rape on this program. The opinions are surely those of Louis Schaefer.
I wasn't rape. I'm saying this is women. They don't want you to touch them there.
But well, sometimes they really don't want you to touch them there.
How can you tell the difference?
Yeah, no, I think, I don't know. I look at it like that with just, you know, like anything else. You got to make the decision with the facts you have right now in the present. I don't know what's going to happen in the future.
Do the best you can. Yeah. This is a crazy situation that you got yourself in.
It was fucking
nuts.
You
have a beautiful daughter, whatever happens, and never listen to Louis Schaefer is a general rule.
He's right.
What did the therapist say?
Initially, like a year ago, the therapist was saying, you know, because it was coming a lot more from my daughter's mom, like most of the problems, she was like, look, she told my daughter's mom in front of me, she was like, if you continue to act this way, he's going to leave. And nobody would blame him for leaving because you're creating an impossible environment for him to live in and be happy in. So you need to stop. And that was a female therapist saying that to another female in front of me. So I was like, oh, whoa. And that kind of, she listened to that. And then, as time went on, our therapist...
Made you attracted to the therapist.
Yes. Yeah. I know.
Or vice versa.
Yeah. But then the therapist kind of threw it back on me, and she was like, well, now... This was like 6 months ago. She was like, I kind of feel like if I gave you the key to open the door to happiness with her, you wouldn't want to open it. Now I feel like you're stalling. Now she's changed, but now you don't want to... What you have a problem now. Now you're stuck.
Let me ask you this.
Is she
now,
right?
I don't know. It's risky.
Now, we don't know what's going to happen with this pilot. As you know,
I don't know,
anything can happen. It might not get picked up. It might get picked up and not last very long. We certainly wish you the best. And from a selfish point of view, obviously, I wish you the best because I was told that you're going to try to, you know, get me some position on that
show.
At a minimum, what's good for you is good for the Comedy Cellar.
Absolutely.
Which is good for me. So there's that as well.
Right.
But in any case, is part of you thinking to yourself, boy, if I hit the jackpot with this show... I can get any woman I want. I can have fun. I never really, you know, partied it up, or maybe you did, but is part of you wondering, what if this show goes, and then how's it going to be with the mother of my child if this show becomes a hit and I become big?
I definitely think about that, but I know that, like, I try to always stay in the present now. For the last, you know, few months of my life, I've been like, I'm just staying in the present, so I don't... It's kind of like everything has crossed that bridge when I get there, but that has crossed my mind. Like, what would I do if this and that happened? But I don't know. I mean, I having a daughter now, I think I look at, you know, just banging chicks differently. You know, I'm like, you know, I mean, I've hooked up with a lot of girls, you know, but now I have a little girl, so it's like...
You're trying to be more respectful.
Try to be more careful and respectful,
but
yeah.
Does that really work, though? I mean, a little bit, obviously.
He didn't say I am more careful. Okay. He says I try.
Yes, I'm trying.
I can understand that.
I banged a girl on the subway this afternoon.
Did you really?
No. Okay.
But I know Noam has a daughter, and you know, he's still, his attitudes toward women, I don't know that they've changed all that much.
Well, I always had a healthy respect for women.
Yeah.
No, I don't think your attitude about women has changed.
No. I think just the like, riskiness now of just, like, going out and, like, banging. What if I get another woman pregnant and I already have a kid?
I thought you meant that because you have a daughter, you look at women different in general.
No, he's saying he's got a daughter. He knows how horrible it can be when you make a woman pregnant.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's not that hard. Chris, I don't know if you ever took ninth grade health class. It's not that hard to not get a woman pregnant.
I can use condoms.
I've been doing it for years.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm with Chris. It's very hard.
No, it's not that hard.
Well, how do you do it?
I use the Natterman system.
What's that?
Which is not touch a woman.
Well, it's go be celibate a large portion of the time. But when I do have sex, I verify that the condom is several times during the course of the of coitus. I verify the condom is still intact, and then, much of the time I will not finish off inside the woman.
Because you're worried about getting her pregnant.
Also because it's kind of fun that way.
You pull out with the condom.
You rip the condom off and you spray her? What's it?
Well, you could phrase it like that, yes. It sounds so crude when you put it that way.
It's horrible.
But no, you know. So yes,
I'm sure they're thankful.
I would call the pullout method. Now, well, they're thankful because they're not going to get pregnant, and because they love, because you know, women just love to be cummed on, right? No, I don't know.
Yeah, can we not discuss this?
I don't know. You think they do?
No, I'm kidding about that.
No, I think some do.
I think some do.
I think they're sexual like us.
Well, yeah. It's like
I've been asked.
David Tell once said, "Women don't like anal sex; they love it." now, of course, he was only joking. We have somebody. Oh, that's Sarah the spin chick.
Can I just say this? I know Lewis this is a bit late. I have a healthy disrespect for women.
He always has, by the way.
Oh, by the way, my father, when he was with my stepmother, I think.
You mean Ava?
No, I don't want to say her name. No, before Ava. So she was seeing a therapist, and then the therapist suggested that my father come in for like couples therapy, and then sometimes they'll see the man alone.
Right.
So, and this thing, everything here is confidential, but you have to be totally honest. So the therapist asked my father, "Are you cheating on her?" And my father said, "Yes." And then the therapist turned around and told my mother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Well, that's obviously a gross violation of ethics.
That's fucked up.
I don't know what it is, but
is that what ruined their marriage?
Well, it didn't help.
Yeah.
That's clearly a gross violation. I suspect that's a rare enough occurrence.
Yeah, I mean, he could get. I mean, I feel like a therapist could lose their license for that. That's horrible.
Yeah, but this is the thing. So you tell the therapist, "Yeah, I'm seeing another woman." Then you get back in the room together, and then you find yourself again in a position where you have to lie, and then the therapist knows you're lying because the therapist already knows you're seeing. So it's an impossible
situation. Yeah, it's an impossible thing. In that situation, I guess your father should have lied.
Of course he should have lied.
Yeah, I guess he was. Yeah.
He shouldn't have gone to a therapist like that. They don't work. What you need to do is, it's very simple. One person can control the world. You just have to go back. What you should do, Chris Stefano.
DiStefano.
What you should. Something's going to be famous, and here's Louis Schaefer mispronouncing his name.
That's okay.
Okay. But what you should do is, this is what I try to do in a relationship, and a gnome should do this, everyone should do this. You should go back to the point when you first met her and looked at her like she's eye candy. Okay.
Right.
And every single day you should try to get back to that point where she was eye candy, you wanted her, you would do whatever she wanted you to do within limits. You got to go do a TV show, you can't spend time with her, but whatever. But also, you had other options on the table that you could take advantage of if she was misbehaving. And that's the way you got to treat a woman. I read it in a book. I paid $50 for it. It's on the internet. Is you've got to look at a woman when you're with her, your wife. This is all you need to do. Whenever she gets stroppy, you look at her like she's eye candy, and you'll do anything.
What's their obligation? What's her part of the bargain?
The fact is like why therapy doesn't work is you can't get somebody else to agree with you. You can only manipulate them and change them and go back to the point. The reason she was lovely to you, the reason your wife was lovely to you, was back in the day was because you looked at her like candy.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Well, Louis Schaefer, by the way, also believes that AIDS is a hoax. I'm just giving you some. I'm just saying that this is the source we've got to consider. And also, there was a climate change. Are you a climate change skeptic as well?
No, I'm not. I'm a denier. Okay. There's a difference.
Very good, Louis.
I'm funny. Here's the point. That's what I'm saying. Just you've got to look at her like candy. Look at a woman like Kent. That's all they want.
Dr. Laura says, I listen to Sun All the Way. She says, they had a girlfriend.
Yeah.
You were his girlfriend. He loved you.
Yeah.
Then you married him. You became his wife. You need to act like his girlfriend again.
Right.
Which is that's the advice to give to a woman. You got to treat him.
All right. This is all fine and good, but this advice might be unfollowable.
Like marriage, like you want to lock this in, but you're not locking it in. You lock it out.
Isn't
that just like me saying if I'm going fighting with a guy, just like, okay, what you got to do is you got to knock him out. You got to knock him. You got to hit him in the face and knock him. Yeah. Okay. Now, but easy to say.
Yeah.
So now you're saying he's got to look at her like the first time he met her. Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what are you going to pull a rabbit out of your hat now?
Yeah, it's very hard to do.
That's obviously easy enough to say.
Can we get back to the condom question?
Go ahead.
So while you're having sex, you're using a condom.
I'm verifying the efficacy of the condom.
You're distracted.
The condom is efficacious.
You're distracted because you keep checking the condom. Like your bandwidth is being shared between the sexual act and checking on the condom, correct?
Yeah.
And that can't lead to good sex.
That's correct.
I'm with Chris.
Yeah, I just don't use it.
But Chris has a baby, and you know, God bless him. And if you don't want a baby,
right?
Millions of people do it every day.
Yeah.
You know, he was, by your own admission, you were very sloppy that evening that you had conceived your child.
But he wouldn't have a TV show if it had happened.
You're right. But who would have predicted that? I mean, he didn't have the kid.
People
for the
say things happen for a reason. I hate when people say that. I hate that. It's not true. But in his case, what happened turned out.
It so happens.
He made lemonade with his sister.
It so happens he got a TV show. And I've actually wondered myself whether or not I should maybe, have a kid for TV reasons.
You should do it with a black girl, though.
That's what I would
have. Yes.
Well,
that'd be great sitcom.
Me and Marina Franklin had discussed that. and it's certainly not the craziest idea, at least in show business.
No, it's not at all.
You know, in terms of trying to get a TV show, because just trying to be wonderfully funny is obviously insufficient.
But you know what? The infrequency that you describe of, like, your sexual activity, you said you don't have it that much. Another option you could have is you could, number one, you know, try to have sex with women who are on birth control. That's provable to you. That's
how can
one
you
we
prove
don't use condom.
How can you
or what
that?
You could do is have sex with women with no condom.
Menopausal women.
You could do that. That's the second. Or the third one is you can just always, you can get Plan Bs. It could cost you $50 a time, and if they're willing to do that. I mean, I'm saying that
Right. Yes, there is Plan B.
Yeah.
But something that he can take after he impregnates the woman.
I think when she's sleeping with Dan, that's her plan B.
Plan B is suicide.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm saying
Plan A definitely didn't work out for her. It's a joke. Yeah. It's a joke.
No, I understand.
I just can't feel anything with condoms. I mean, the lambskin ones.
You can take a hammer to me with a condom.
I can't do it. It doesn't matter.
I agree with you, which is why I often have to pull out and do it that way, because very frequently I cannot.
You would think in 2017.
I know you've made this point before.
They would, what?
You would think that they could come up with something better than a condom. Yes.
A spray or something.
They had a foam back in the day.
Well, there's numerous forms of birth control. The condom is effective against diseases as well.
But that's fine, but he's not trying to protect against diseases. He's trying to protect against pregnancy.
There is some kind of pill I know that, like, disables
the sperm.
Disables.
Yeah, but it gives you man boobs too.
Yeah, but it's temporary. It's like
side
10
effects,
hours
side
it disables.
Side effects may vary.
Yeah, side effects may vary.
You know, they also have a vaccine for Lyme disease. They discontinued.
Yeah.
Like, technology just stops sometimes. I don't understand.
Well, it probably wasn't effective if they discontinued it.
And, or there wasn't enough people getting Lyme disease.
And a lot of people get Lyme disease.
The only way they can check your prostate in 2017 is have to stick a finger in your ass.
Only way.
It makes no sense.
Makes sense to me. But.
I asked my doctor, I said, what if God had made fingers too big to fit in a man's ass? Would they just not check the prostate? That's it.
use a penis the old-fashioned way.
That's it. I'm sorry. It's in there, it's a mystery to us.
Lewis, what brings you to New York this time? I haven't seen you since...
I haven't been in 6 years.
It's been a while since... with the death of your dear mother, I don't want to bring up a sore subject, but that I think was the last time. The last time you were here.
No, I came here. I came here because because I'm stuck in London, and I realized I got a storage facility that I'm paying £50 a month. I've spent like thousands for 17 years. I've had how much is that?
Can I tell the listeners why Lewis is such a pivotal figure in the Comedy Cellar history?
I want to know that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Years ago, the Comedy Cellar was struggling very, very badly. And on a weeknight, we'd have, 10, 15 people in the audience. So we talked about many times. The waitresses would have to take off their aprons and sit in the audience to try to... And then how did you first get... I guess somebody, SD, at some point hired you to be booked you to be MC.
No, what happened was... I don't know what I was hired for. I don't know what happened.
What happened is that Louis Schaefer is so crazy that he just started barking people in.
No. He was emceeing.
Maybe he was emceeing.
And in between the acts, no one had ever done this before. He would go outside on the street with flowers and whatever and start bringing people in.
Yeah.
He would go he would run around the street going, beautiful couple, beautiful people, come to the show. You're a beautiful man. What are you doing with her, sir? She's trash. Call me.
No, I'd never say she's trash. I would say he's trash. I would never say, you never say a woman's trash.
He's trash, and then you would say she's trash.
Now, what I would do is, I would say to the woman, you're really beautiful. Call me. Would you do me? And she'd say, no, I'm not going to do you. And then I'd turn to the guy and I'd say, can you call me? To the guy.
In any way.
Comedy gold.
And amazingly, and I say amazingly because it was something no one had ever thought was possible. He would fill the room.
Right.
Yeah. He filled the room on weeknights.
Is Noam exaggerating? Did you fill the room or did you bring a few people?
Yeah, we
got
it. We filled it, not filled it completely, but we got 30, 40 sometimes people in there, which is more.
No, no, I'm not exaggerating because it was like a lightning bolt to the whole thing.
And your father would come in, he'd say, it's Tuesday. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go bring the Jewish music back like I did around the corner over there.
He never said that.
He used to say that. He said he was considering bringing... This is how your father used to work. He used to nudge you to work harder.
So then we got a reputation for having a crowd. And from that, you know, of course, it then perpetuates itself. And then more and more comics started coming down.
Right.
And then, so that was great. And Lewis was the flavor of the day. Then he got very big for his britches.
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
No,
well, he'll talk about it.
I meant Lewis.
No, I'm saying I just caution you that to say that Lewis Schaefer is not sometimes self-aware. So for him to talk about it, you may not get an accurate depiction.
Well, who knows? That's why I like to listen to what other people have to say.
He was insufferable.
I agree with that. I should have treated your father.
How did it go wrong? Tell the people. It's interesting.
I think it went wrong because I thought to myself, you should be listening to me. It should be me and only me because I'm the one who's doing this whole thing. And I, instead of looking at your dad or Esty like candy... Like you look at a woman. This is how you have to look at people in life. You should look at everybody you work with, all the producers and the directors. If you look at them like candy, they will give you the benefits. If you start looking at them like you're the best one, it's your show, you'll be off the air. And that's what happened with your dad.
And he tried to push Esty out.
I didn't try to push Esty out. I just thought, I told Esty, we need black performers here. And so Manny says to Esty, get black performers. The way Esty works is... It's not even like jump how high. She jumps as high as she possibly can. And one day we had 14 out of the 15 acts were black acts. And so it wasn't that I was trying to push Esty out.
I don't remember any of this.
I know you don't remember it. Of course I
remember.
There's
a racial component to this story?
No, it isn't a racial component. But what it was it was Lewis Schaefer stepping on people's toes, and I regret it. I'm not going to say...
Well, Lewis Schaefer also, he would give advice to every comic. Because Lewis Schaefer, he was hosting the show and bringing the audience... He said to himself, this is my show, and therefore I get to tell everybody. So when I would get off stage, if I was on the show, he'd go, Dan, you stunk it up. You stunk up the joint. You didn't pump it. You got to listen to Lewis Schaefer. Yeah, you got to pump it. You didn't hold the mic properly. and if I had a good set, you see, he would say, so you listen to Lewis Schaefer, you see? You pumped it.
I was horrible.
So then Lewis got banished. What was the story? How did you get banished?
Well, then he went to the Boston
Comedy. I don't know, because I got a thing. And so Manny calls me up on the phone, and I have a fight with Manny. Instead of looking at Manny, who was a person that I know is your dad. And
Careful.
I was going to say something else. I was going to say the opposite thing. I know there was lots of people who loved your father. And I can honestly say, when your father died, I cried. I'm going to cry now thinking about him. Your father was an amazing man, okay? And instead of looking at him and saying, you know, I'm a new comedian, this is an amazing opportunity, I'm working here at the Comedy Cellar, I just got a little full of myself. He said to me, you can go anywhere in the world except the Boston Comedy Club, which is around the corner.
Right.
Okay? And so I said, you can't tell Lewis Schaefer. You can't tell Lewis Schaefer what to do. So I went around the corner. Can I tell a story about your father?
Please.
Okay. So the Boston Comedy Club is around the corner, and your father used to drive past the Boston... I don't know if you heard that. I've told you this before. He used to drive past the Boston Comedy Club, which is a much lesser prestigious place than here. And he'd drive by, and he'd say, Lewis, did you hear what happened? We've added a fourth show on a Saturday, right? And then he'd drive up. He says, Lewis, do you know who was here last night? Jerry Seinfeld was at the comedy, you know, cellar. And then he'd drive off. He said, and he'd drive by. He says, Lewis, look at my new car. It's a Lexus. A Lexus.
He's needling you?
No. It's like Jews do drive-by gloatings. It was your father. Your father, instead of shooting me in the head. So that's what I have to say.
Well, and this is, you know, we have this issue, and I get it.
Yeah.
Comedians don't want to be told where and where they can't perform.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're human beings, and people are not good. Most people are not good at putting themselves in other people's shoes.
Right.
When you have a business here, and you have another business that is gunning for you and trying to take your business, which is the American way, literally, you know, less than 100 feet away, you say to the people who are working in your business and benefiting from that work in your business, look, go do whatever you want. don't go and breathe oxygen into the people. You can't have both. You want to go there, but I'm not going to have... You're not going to be in good graces here and then turn and also pump oxygen into the people who are trying to suffocate us. And 9 out of 10 performers bristle at that and say, go fuck yourself. And then often we'll come back years later and regret it.
But yeah.
Are you back now? Do you perform here now?
He will never.
He lives in England.
He will never. No, but I'm saying, like when's the last time you've actually performed here?
He lives in England. He's not here.
I live in England. I'm not here. It's not an issue. It's not an issue whether I perform here or not.
No, but I'm just curious. I'm just curious, like, when the last time you took the stage was here. I understand you.
I took the stage during Hassan's going away.
He's in town.
He's in town. He's also in town. And what your father did to him, he put an Israeli flag behind this Egyptian guy's head. I feel so sorry for the guy. Anyway, the point is, here is the point. He's half right. It isn't about me going around the corner. It is about me having me stepping on toes with my horrible personality that I have. Is people don't like me. They don't like me they like me in a weird kind of way, but they don't like me in London.
Well, Louis, but my father always liked you. And actually, when he would drive by and tell you those things, he was teasing you. That was a warm thing he was doing because he was
I was telling a joke, but just so you know,
he wanted to get the drive-by gloating line in, and it was a good one.
It's true, right? That sounds like my father.
Your father.
The accent, no, but the rest
now
of
the
it,
problem
yeah.
with letting Lewis perform here is he no longer does the shtick that we love so well about not being gay. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing these days, but he went to England and he got married and he has kids. And then he got divorced, but he could still theoretically be the not gay guy. But for some reason, you've abandoned the not gay shtick. Now, why did you abandon the not gay shtick?
Because in England, I'm like all man. I'm like the machoest guy in the world. I'm like I'm like a Chris Stefano here. The Stefano here. Look at how tough that guy is. I'm like here in this country. Dan and I are like the same, but in there, I'm like the machoest guy in the world. I'm an American guy, so they don't even think.
It wouldn't work.
No,
by the way, can I just apologize?
By the way, Chris DiStefano, as manly as he looks, has a very, very is very much in touch with his feminine side.
And his eczema.
And my eczema.
Well, I forgot about the eczema.
Well, my whole comedy is looking the way I look, but not talking about anything that guys talk about.
You're not really that tough a dude, and you used to be a physical therapist, which is involves touching men
with kids. I used to work with kids.
Oh, in physical therapy with kids.
Touching kids. I don't want to hear that.
You'll be happy to know, by the way, my frozen shoulder is improving day by day.
Well, I saw you doing some exercises when I was walking up. I saw you throwing the right arm up and down. And
well, I used to be only able to go as high as a Sig Heil with my right arm.
Right.
But now I can go all the way up to pick me, teacher. I know the answer.
who told you to do that, Dan Anatomy? You're gonna give me credit for this.
Told you to do what?
Who told you to do these exercises?
Well, I went to a physical therapist.
You really are needy, Lewis. You really want credit.
I'm not needy.
No, Lewis is right that I could have probably just gone online and found the exercises. But I also, this physical therapist is also, she's doing stuff that I can't do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also, you know, she's kind of cute.
I want to apologize. I want to apologize. I'm not making fun of the names Columbus and Carnegie.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I grew up with a very tough name. I was teased mercilessly. For having an odd name. So I'm always very wary of parents that giving their kids an odd name because they don't realize. Because you grew up with Lewis. Lewis is a generic name.
Lewis
is a bit older than his generation.
No, there's no Lewis. There's no Lewis. I've never met a Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, in my entire life. I was called Jerry Lewis the entire time. Every kid is picked on, whether you have a good name or a bad name. You can't give a kid a great name. You're going to be picked on. So my kids, they're getting stronger and stronger from being picked on.
They weren't picked on for those names, were they? Were they picked on? They don't rhyme with any words on the face.
I don't have contact with them. They won't speak to me because...
Is that true?
No, it's not true. It's almost true, but it's not true.
Do the kids...
Come on, Lewis. Spill it.
No, I'm just telling you. When I speak to Chris DiStefano, it comes from a place.
Right. I appreciate it. I appreciate it.
And when I hear you and say how you put muscle through it, I understand it. And I understand exactly what you need to do.
Well, there is a time when a relationship needs to end, though. Would you agree with that, Louis Schiff?
No. Okay. No, you fight it out. You stay with the person because even, you know what it is? All women are horrible. There's no difference between one and the other. you think it's a difference. I remember when I was a kid, and my father used to look at another woman and say, I remember my mother who died just 2 days ago. I mean, and 10 years ago, whatever. And I thought to myself, this was the woman who taught me that women are insane.
Okay? Right.
Right? This is the woman.
That you have to understand.
Because it. I said, no, not women. I said, she's insane. And then I learned in life that all women are insane. And now I know that I'm the insane one. And that's what you have to go through life is. All women are insane, so you must be the insane one.
Right. Does anybody anybody actually understand that?
I mean, I think I'm following because if you're insane enough to be with someone insane, then therefore you're insane.
You have to.
If you sit there and you... Sorry, Dan.
Well, you'd have to understand the context is that Lewis's mother was unfortunately very ill.
No, she wasn't.
She had bipolar, what we now call bipolar disorder. It was called manic depression back in those days.
Yeah.
Eddie Perkins' mother in Psycho. Is that close?
I met Lewis's mother, you know what she said to me? This is a direct quote. She said, if she said like something about Lewis being handsome, and I said, yeah, he's a nice looking guy. And she said to me, God bless her, she said, if incest were legal, you know what I would do.
Trump said the same thing.
Trump didn't say it quite so explicitly.
Yeah.
Trump said if my daughter wasn't my daughter, I might be dating her. She said, Mrs. Schaefer said, he's my son, and I don't care if he's my son. And the only thing stopping me are the people in Albany that pass these arcane laws.
Your mother was a very law-abiding soul.
but can I just say something?
She was a wonderful woman. Unfortunately, she was ill.
She wasn't ill.
What do you mean she wasn't ill?
She wasn't ill. It was at the time this is what happened. You can ask Noam about his wife, and I can guarantee you that there are moments when you thought this woman's insane.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And if you stop loving her, Chris DiStefano, if you stop loving the mother of your children and fool around, she will go insane. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. And that's because that's the way women act. It's like a dog. If you touch a dog,
oh my
in the
God.
If well, you we, touch Lewis. A dog, I don't mean like dogs. I'm not saying they're dogs, but this is what I'm
we
saying.
We have a woman here. I don't know if she wants to respond.
She probably never talked to him again.
She doesn't want to. Okay.
She's here with Lewis.
Lewis's girlfriend is here. She's sitting
she's not
in
my
to listen.
Girlfriend.
Well, what is she?
Girlfriend. I don't know. She's my
she's
future
pissed
wife.
Off is what
she's
she
my
look
future
at
wife.
If she wants to address that issue, she can. If not, I see she's shy.
No, she doesn't. No, she's not shy. She knows. She knows. She doesn't. She wants to avoid a beating.
All right, well, it's about time to wrap it
up.
Well,
we got a few more minutes with Lewis Schaefer. By the way, Lewis,
you should spend more time with Chris, because when this show is aired, it's going to be, who is that guy? This is Chris DiStefano. This is Ray Romano. Remember, Ray Romano was here.
I saw Ray Romano 2 days ago. I was watching the first cut of my pilot, and then I saw him. He was here, and then he was like, oh, you're watching your pilot? And I was like, yeah. And then I was like, do you remember anything about your pilot? He was like, I remember I thought it wasn't very good at all, and I didn't think it was going to go. He's like, but then it became my show.
Chris,
I was like, well, I think my pilot is good. He's like, well, it's probably not going to get picked up then. Like, oh, shit.
You know, there was a very slow burn for everyone with Raymond.
He told me, yeah.
Because I remember, I think 2 years the show had been on the air. He was still doing spots in the WA.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, and people, we'd introduce him, and nobody would really know who he was. And he'd say, oh, you're not my demographic. Like he...
Yeah.
And I don't know if they give shows that much time to
not
succeed anymore.
Well, he told me that he started out Fridays at like 8:30, which is like death. You know, you don't want to be there. And then for 2 years, and then they were going to cut him. They were going to drop a show, but then something happened. Another show got canceled, and they moved him to, you know, Mondays at 9 p.m., and it became Everybody Loves Raymond.
Traditional network shows aren't what they used to be anyway. In the best-case scenario, you probably wouldn't get the kind of ratings that Ray got or that Seinfeld got.
No.
Everything is so fragmented.
No, I believe that the best chance I would ever have of, you know, for example, take like, you know, like Michael Che has been on SNL, you know, good friend of mine, been on SNL 4 years now, and, you know, becoming the face of the show. And you know, a lot of people know him, but he's selling out theaters now because of his Netflix special. You know, it's just a different thing now.
It's a different movie.
Oh, that's interesting. It's Netflix is what?
Netflix. Oh, well, I
not
mean,
SNL.
No, definitely SNL. I mean, definitely SNL. But, I mean, he's, you know,
but
he's got
Netflix
over 100 million views on Facebook on a bit that was taken from his Netflix special.
Wow.
He's really, I mean, he sells out, you know, he's in a theater tour now. And I think that there is a place where a network show can get there, but, you know, I think we have a, you know, I think the networks now are adapting to the times. I mean, Netflix is a beast, and then you have YouTube, you know, sensations and all that, and social media, and guys, you know, there's people who could, you know, sell out the room a year in advance who never done stand-up a day in their life. They just have, a bunch of Instagram followers. I mean, it's just the world we live in. I don't worry about that too much. I don't worry about being famous. I just want to make the show, and CBS is really letting me make my show.
It must be a wonderful moment right now, because right now it's all good. You haven't succeeded or failed. It's all...
Right.
All you have is right now is possibilities.
Well, right. Well, to be honest, because I kind of feel safe either way because I like my pilot. Just because
you
I'm proud of it.
You feel that if it gets nixed, you will be okay with
and
it.
And because my family was there to see it, I almost look at my pilot and the whole experience of filming like a 22-minute movie that I got to film with Chaz Palminteri and Annie Potts, and it was going to be over anyway. It was just like I got to do a few scenes with Chaz and Annie Potts and Diane Gray.
Well, those big
names. I looked at it that way.
Those big names, I mean, nobody twisted their arm to do it. I presume they did it because they read it.
These people need to work.
No,
these
not
people
Chad.
Need to work. Maybe not Chad. Chad, what was the last?
Dan is such a fucking naysayer. He's like, nah, I'm just it means nothing.
I'm trying to tell you how it is. I'm
it
trying
to work.
I'm trying to tell you how it is.
I thought you wanted to be on my show, Dan.
I do, but I'm telling you how. I'm telling you reality.
It's not gonna last.
He's really something.
Actors like to work, and you give them a check, yep. And they'll do it.
No.
Most actors. Very few actors
Chaz
can afford.
Chaz Palminteri, he's not discriminating about what he does?
I don't fucking know what the last thing he did was.
Well, I'll tell you what, Chaz.
You know, you'd be surprised at what you can get an actor to do. You would be surprised.
They're whores is what he's dancing.
Very few can afford to just thumb their nose up at anything and everything.
And you counter that with...
Well, because we had a few...
Doesn't mean it's not a great pilot.
Well, because we had a few possibilities for the role of my father, you know, the people and producers were like, you know, they kindly asked Chaz. They were like, you know, we know you don't normally audition. You know, you're just given stuff because you've earned that. Would you audition? And he was like, I haven't been on an audition in 25 years. I have not auditioned for anything in 25 years since Bronx Tale.
But I got child support payments.
But he said, this character, your father, seems like just an Italian-American who loves his son. He doesn't seem like a mafia guy, a Guido guy. And he said he's always getting offered parts like that. He's like, so because I like this part so much, I will audition. And it was like kind of one of those things where I was like, wow, I can't believe... Look, you're going to, you know, not do something you haven't done in 25 years for this part. And then he was killing in the pilot. I mean, he killed every scene. He killed. And he'd always be like, you fucking made me audition. You know? Fucking made me audition. So he was fun and playful like that.
Actors always say they fell in love with the script.
Yeah.
Oh,
God bless. God bless him. I mean, they're idiots, most of them.
Yes. Yeah. Tough,
I take everything
not.
With a grain of salt.
I'm sure if you say it's a good pilot, I trust your read.
I don't think, you know, I'm not saying you guys, anybody will. I'm just saying me as a person, my comedy's in it. The relationship with my father, which is so important, is in it and preserved the way I wanted it. So I'm not saying it's going to go. I'm not saying anybody at the table would even like it. I'm just saying I'm proud of it. So if it didn't go or did go, it would be okay either way. I hope it goes. I mean, I got child support payments.
I'm going to do something that I don't offer everybody. I'm going to put all my positive energy into this pilot going.
Oh, thank you.
Now, normally I do the opposite.
Yeah.
I think bad thoughts.
Right.
But since you're such a fundamentally decent human being.
Well, we don't know that, Dan.
You don't know that because you're off in England buggering young boys. But I'm here, and I see Chris on a regular basis. I'm telling you, he's the real thing. There are very few genuine people.
Oh, thank you.
And Chris is a genuine person. You can't fake it. You can try to fake it. Many people do.
Yeah.
But I see through you. I see through it.
Yeah.
And Chris is the real deal, so he deserves all my positive energy.
Am I a genuine person?
I appreciate it.
Yes, you're a genuine person, but you're not a comic, so you're not.
I'm just asking you if I'm a genuine person.
Of course, you're a genuine person. You're genuinely crotchety.
All right, whatever. Is Lewis a genuine person?
Lewis, what you see is what you get.
Is Ray Allen a genuine person?
I don't want to talk about Ray Allen.
We need the Aruba gig.
Ray Allen's a fine genuine person.
Ray Allen showed up. I went to lunch with Ray Allen yesterday at 4 o'clock. In the afternoon, he had his T-shirt on backwards the whole fucking day. He didn't notice it, like a child.
Yeah. Well, Ray Allen is a great man, and the Aruba gig is we've all enjoyed. Russ Maniv is here.
So
you want to say hi to Louis?
Hey, what's up, Russ?
Say hi to Louis. I probably haven't seen you in 10 years. Probably,
in 10
right?
years? Less? No, 6 years.
Six years. Okay.
No, stick around. I meant to fucking.
But that's it. Get,
you know, we're gonna have dinner afterward, Russ. We can all have dinner together if you want. We're almost done, Ski.
We are done. We're done. Just sign off, Dan.
Well, Russ Meneve, most handsome man in comedy.
He's very handsome. We'd like to thank Louis Schaefer, our dear friend. You can come next week too if you want, because you're never in America.
Yeah,
if you want to come next week, is that okay, Louis?
Yeah. No? I think it's too much. It's too much.
Yes, it's. I would not. As only is it okay? I'd love it.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Chris DiStefano once again. What's the name of the show?
Right now it's Untitled. Well, we're going to test names. We like Chris and Izzy or DiStefano or
DiStefano, like, come on, man.
Chris and Izzy maybe because the character's name is Izzy.
I prefer Chris and Izzy, but DiStefano, really?
No,
we're
going to
do that again?
Yeah, I know.
With Seinfeld, Cosby, Louie.
Yeah.
You know, Roseanne.
At least I'm not playing a comedian in my show, though. That's I'm not doing that.
What are you playing?
A physical therapist in the show.
I don't like it. I love it. I feel the same way about that show that women feel about anal sex. Yeah.
Don't call it Chris and Izzy because then you can't get rid of the other guy. Let's say you lose.
Oh, you mean the other girl?
Who's Izzy?
Izzy's the girl.
Izzy's the my girlfriend, wife in the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Izzy short for Isabella?
Isabella.
You can change. Remember, Three's Company became Three's a Crowd.
Yeah.
These things can be done.
I'm like Will and, you know, Will and Grace. That was a good show. Two title character names. I don't know. We're throwing it around.
Don't listen to Louis Schaefer in general.
In general. I think you're
right.
Yeah,
that's the name of the show. Don't listen to Louis Schaefer.
The name is something. It's like anything. I mean, in businesses, too, that you really sweat. But in most cases, It doesn't make or break the success.
Right.
Of
like
show.
Curb Your Enthusiasm was a name that I was like, I don't even know what that means, but that's my favorite show of all time. And I remember watching it, like, what the fuck does this mean? But I watched it and was hooked in 5 minutes.
The only time I think a name is really matters is when it implies something which really the show isn't, where people actually don't tune in because they think it's like a, you know, totally different than what
like
it
I
is.
Like, I love Hitler. That's a bad name for a show.
I can't think of an example, but there was that movie years ago, The Great Santini.
Based off the book, yeah.
And it sounded like it was about a magician.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they said that. So they changed the name at some point. I forget, they changed it with Robert Duvall because the name was really, people had a real misapprehension. That's the example that comes to mind.
Yeah. No, anyway. I know. We're not sweating the name. I mean, I think, like anything else, they'll test names, you know, if we get there. But
by the way, this is part of the secret sauce of the Comedy Cellar. And one of a million reasons why it's successful is that they cultivate people like Chris. They're nice to him when he's a big nobody because he's funny.
Yeah.
But if and when the sitcom becomes a big hit, you will come back here.
Yeah.
And you will be one of the stars that everybody says, oh, my God, Chris DiStefano is here.
Right.
You know, Amy Schumer started here. She was a nobody.
Yeah.
But they you know, gave her a lot of spots. And then when she became big, she came back.
Oh, yeah.
So
Absolutely.
That's part of the secret sauce. We certainly hope it happens for you.
Thank you.
And I look forward to the audience going, oh, my God, you know, when they announce Chris DiStefano from Chris and Izzy. And they think it's going to be Izzy, and they're a little disappointed when it's Chris, but still excited enough. We do thank you. We wish the best things for this situation comedy.
It's always great coming on.
Can I apologize to you, Dan Natterman,
for leaving me at the altar 15 years ago when you went to England?
I apologize. It was a big mistake.
I'm looking for the other name. But anyway, go ahead, Dan. Sign off.
I guess that's it. We'll see you next week here on the Comedy Cellar Show.
Oh, brilliant, Dan Natterman.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.